Good evening. I don't know if you caught this morning. Some of you did. But when Dave said, give God 2.4 hours.
Did you guys catch that? I challenged the teens the other a week ago about giving God your tithe. And we give God our tithe and our money. But I challenged them to give God your tithe and your time. Because God wants our time. He wants our money, but He wants our time more than He wants our money. He wants us to give Him ourselves. So I challenged them. I said, do you give God your tithe and your time? And the tithe for 24 hours is 2.4 hours, which Austin told me was how much? 2 hours and 24 minutes a day would be your tithe to God in your time. Now, if you figure that out for a week, it's 16.8 hours a week. Figure that out for a year, it's 873.6 hours a year is what your tithe is to God for your time. And you're probably all thinking, yeah, what's your point? The teens, and I was telling teens, if you would take the time each day, take the time that you give God, and that's the time that you pray, the time that you read your Bible, the time that you're just thinking about God, the time you're listening to gospel music, because that's godly music. Anything that you do to give your time to God, if you would write that down, I said, do that for a week. And I said, I don't want to know. I want them to do it for themselves to see, are they coming even close to giving their time to God? Are you coming close to giving God 10% of your time? Because 10% isn't really a lot of time of the time that we have. And you say, yeah, but 2.4 hours is a lot of time in a day that I have to give to God. But God's given you 24 hours a day. God's given you all the time that you have. We always say, well, God gives you the money. You need to give it back to Him because it belongs to Him. Well, God, our time belongs to God. God gave us the time that we have, so we need to try to give Him, I believe, the Bible doesn't say it anywhere, but I believe we need to try to give God at least 10% of our time. And as I told the kids, now you can do it this way. The days that you're in church, that counts as your time. So if you figure it all out, how many hours do we figure out you're in church if you come to every service? About 6 to 7 hours per week you spend in church. So now, out of that 16 hours, you only have to come up with 10 yourself that you're reading your Bible and you're praying. So I'm going to challenge you, just like I challenge them. Take the time each day and write down how much time you give to God. And then at the end of the week, look at it and see how you do. See if you come close to that time. We did it this week, and I failed because I didn't do it every day. And I did fail in my time that I give God. But it lets me know where I'm at. It lets me know to try to do better. And I'm going to challenge you all to do that. Anyways, if you stand up, we're going to read God's Word. We're going to read 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word, Lord, and I just pray that You'll take control of my mind, Lord, take control of my mouth, take control of everything that I have, Lord. I want it all to be to You. I want them to hear my voice, but hear Your words, Lord. Just please be with me. Help me be a blessing to them. Help them to get something out of this message tonight. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you maybe seated? And you say, well, that's a message that you would preach to the teens. And that's a verse that we use when they preach to the teens. And that is something that I use when we preach to the teens. I preach to the teens all the time about being a good example and acting right. And when I say, you know, when we say that, the adults all say, well, amen, the teens should act right and they should be a good example. And praise God for that. Then as I sit in church service, and I yell at the kids all the time over there in Sunday school, you need to come over here and you need to behave. You need to be quiet. You need to turn all your cell phones off. You need to not talk and not be a distraction. You need to do this and do that. Because believe me, when they don't, people come and tell me. People come and tell my wife, well, did you see those teenagers? They were acting up. But then when I sit in service and I see the same thing out of adults, what does that teach the kids? I yell at the kids, you need to be quiet during the preaching, and yet you have adults talking. You need to turn off your cell phones and not have your cell phones. We don't allow them to have cell phones in the teen class. But yet, over here, cell phones are going off, and sometimes people answer them. Other times, they're trying to find it and turn it off. And And they're looking like, well, they're doing that. Because the teenagers look at adults and they say, well, if they can do that, why do I have to be quiet? Why do I have to act right? So we say amen when we say be an example to the kids. They should be an example. They should act right. Well, so should adults. That is not my text verse. My text verse is going to be in Titus, if you turn to that. Because we have, and my message of the title is, are you an example? What kind of example are we to kids? What kind of example are we to our children, to the younger generation? What kind of example are we? And if you, I was thinking about Dave's message today. When all the older people weren't allowed to go into the promised land because they didn't listen to God, they didn't obey God's voice. And if you read in Numbers, they were complaining all the time. Even when God was bringing them through, they were complaining, "What are you doing to us, God?" Well, the kids seen that. The younger ones from 29, they seen all that. They heard all that. And then God said, well, you're not going to get to go in, just the younger ones. But the younger ones seen all the complaining that their parents did. Do you get the point? The kids see what we do. The kids see, they see us. We are their example. Whether you want to be or you don't want to be, you are their example, especially if you have kids. But all adults in this church are example to the kids. We always wonder, what happens to our teenagers? Where do they go? Why aren't they in church anymore? Makes you wonder. And I know it's their own choice what they do. But I think a lot of times we are not being a good example to the teenagers. We're not being a good example to the young people. And they decide, what is the point? What do they need church for? Because we're not acting like Christians anyways. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to ask you tonight, what kind of example are you? And if you look at Titus. Chapter 2, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not forlorning, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, if you read that, that's telling you, it's not asking you to be an example, it's telling you that you are an example, that you should be an example to other people. As Christian people, as a dad, I'm an example to my kids. And as a parent, you're an example to your kids. Not just in how we should live our life in this world, because we should be a good example to our kids no matter who we are. But as Christians, we're supposed to be the example that they look to live a Christian life. And we wonder what happens to our kids, why they do the things that they do. And you can say, well, I live my life according to God's word, and they chose to do that. And that's probably true, because kids do choose to go the wrong way sometimes on their own. But a lot of times I think it's because of what they see in our life, the hypocrisy that they see in us, the things that we do, they see the things that we do and they decide, you know what? What is the point? You're a fake. You're not acting like you're supposed to act. You're telling me that I shouldn't do these things, and yet you're doing these things. And I think I may have told you this before. When I was growing up, my family, we weren't in church, and we were big drinkers. Well, I wasn't at that age. I was a little kid. I wasn't a big drinker then. They were big drinkers. But yet, they would sit there and tell you, well, you can't drink. You can't go do those things, as they were drinking beer. Well, if you're drinking a beer and you're telling your kids, you know you shouldn't drink and you shouldn't do those things, they're going to look at you and say, well, what are you doing? Who are you to tell me that I can't do that and I'm watching you do that? Who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to act yet, but you don't act like a Christian? You don't do the things that you're supposed to do. And if you look at these verses, and if you would read these verses in Titus 2, This tells you how we're supposed to act as Christians. The aged men, now aged doesn't mean really old man, it just means of the age is what it said in the dictionary, whatever that means. An aged man of the age. So I'm going to say I'm of the age. I'm not going to say I'm an aged man. Got that? The aged men be sober. Sober, if you look that up in a dictionary, sober means not intoxicated. So obviously you're not supposed to be drunk or intoxicated, but sober also means you're supposed to be temperate or restrained. You're supposed to be sober, grave, which is reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. That's what we're supposed to be as men. We're supposed to do those things, and that's the example we're supposed to show our kids. Do you show your kids that example? Are you temperate, or do you have a bad temper? Because temper means you shouldn't have a bad temper. Temper means you're supposed to be restrained. You're supposed to be able to restrain yourself. So if you get mad, and I really don't have anything to throw up here because I don't want to break anything. If you get mad, if you're working out and your kids are with you and you're working on your car, whatever you do, and you smash your finger, what happens when you're working on cars a lot, right, Jim? You smash something because you're wrenching something. You take the wrench and throw it and go, bleep, bleep, bleep. Yep. And as your kid is sitting there watching you say all those things and act that way, but then when he does that, you say, hey, watch your mouth. That's what we do. You can't say that word. But yet, 2 minutes ago, you said it. 2 minutes ago, you were throwing stuff all over the place and acting like a fool. But yet, we want to tell our kids, don't do that. As the saying goes, actions speak louder than words. Your actions speak louder than what you tell your kids. We can tell our kids that we're blue in the face, how they're supposed to act. But they're going to watch us. Not only do my kids watch me, but my kids watch all you. It's not just my kids. My kids aren't weird watching everybody. But kids watch adults to see how they act. Kids watch other Christians. And a teenage boy was preaching where we were at one day, and he was saying, you know, I rode the bus. He goes, and I watched you Christian people. I watched you people to see how you acted. And that's why I kept coming back, because you acted right. But I watched. They watch you. These kids watch how you guys act. And they take it all in. Kids take a lot of stuff in. They may not say it all, but they see a lot of stuff. We don't think they're watching, but they do, which is kind of scary, that they're watching us and they're watching our actions. And are we being a good example to them? Are we being the example that because I always try to tell the kids, find somebody that you can look up to, a good, godly person. Don't look up to, you know, an athlete's always, we always have these athletes on our wall. There are heroes. And as we always say here, you should have a hero that's somebody in the faith, like Carl McDaniels. I know Carl doesn't like, he shakes his head every time someone says that. But find an older person that is a good, godly man, a good, godly woman that you see that is acting right. And I tell them to look at that person and see how they act. Now, I tell them that, hoping that they'll find somebody here to look at. Find somebody here to say, you know, I would like to be like that person when I get older. I see how they carry themselves. I see how they act. And you can say, well, you shouldn't try to act like other people. You should just follow what God says. Well, that's true. But we all try to emulate people because I think Carl McDaniels is a great Christian man. Amen. That's just my opinion. Carl's opinion of himself is probably a lot different than mine. But my opinion is he comes to church all the time. He comes on visitation all the time. And how old are you, Carl? 89? 4? 84. You're saying 4. 84 years old, and he comes to visitation every Saturday without fail. He's here. He comes to church service, every service. That's the kind of person that I want the kids to emulate. That's the kind of person that I want to be like. I want my life to be to where my kids look at me and not have ill feelings about being in the ministry and ill feelings about being a Christian and about going to church. Are you that kind of example to your kids? Because I know there's a lot of people in church that have had kids come to church, and then all of a sudden their kids, they never come back. That may or may not be your fault, but it may be your fault. So I'm asking you, what kind of example are you? Are you the example that the Bible talks about, or are you the example that we should not be? Because we're an example one way or another. Are we the type of person that says, do we talk about the preacher? do we say on, preacher? He made me so mad today, I just wanted to rip his head off, and he's such a jerk, he shouldn't have been saying that. And you say, well, nobody would ever do that. But we do. No, I'm not saying I do, but I'm just saying. My kids are like, but people do that. We get mad, and we say things that we shouldn't say in front of our kids. We say things, well, I didn't agree with that. Or do you uphold the preacher and say, that was a great message? I agree with everything he said, and I really, you know, did you can talk about it with your kids? Hey, did you hear that message? What he said was really good. You know, you should do that. Do we say that the preacher was wrong for what he said? Well, he shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't be preaching about Facebook. I'm going to use that because I know that's a controversial thing, Facebook. He shouldn't have been preaching about Facebook. He should have never said anything about that. I don't agree with it. I think he's wrong. I think, and blah, 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 and you go on and on and on, and your kids are sitting there listening to you, that does two things. That tells them that it's okay to do whatever they want to do, no matter what the preacher says. Even if it's not about Facebook, if it's about something else, and a preacher says that you shouldn't do this, they're going to go back to, well, you said he shouldn't talk about that. It takes away his authority. It takes away the authority that he has as the man of God. Whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, sometimes it's better just to be quiet about it. Sometimes it's better just, if you don't agree with it, just be quiet. Don't, because there's going to be a day when your kids are going to, you're going to want the preacher to have the authority of on your kids, and they're not going to listen to him because of what you've been bad-mouthing him about. Whether you believe that or not, that's the truth, because I know people that have done that, that have bad-mouthed the preacher for years and years and years, and they wonder why their kids aren't even in church anymore. That's what happens. Do we criticize people all the time in church? Are we the type of people that go home and you sit around and you, did you hear that person sing today? That was just terrible. I wish they wouldn't sing anymore. They were just awful. Do we do that? Because I'm sure people do. Did you see them? Did you see them today? I can't believe they were doing that. Did you see that person? And we criticize everybody in the church, but yet we want our kids to continue to go to church. But it sounds, if you listen to yourself, well, it sounds like you can't stand the people in the church, so why should I keep going? You hate everybody there, so why do I got to go? Because that's what the kids think. I mean, that's what I would think. So you got to be careful what you do. What kind of example are you being? Are you being like what this says? It says to be discreet. Are you being discreet? And I looked up some words again, because I always do. Discreet means cautious in actions or speech. So being discreet is not talking about everybody and everything. Did you see what she was wearing? I can't believe she wore that. Did you see him singing? He thought he was just so cool. But we do that because we're not being a good example to our kids. The Bible says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Women. And I told this to the teenage girls, and a lot of you women might get mad at me for saying this, but women have a problem with talking. The Bible says it. Everywhere in the Bible, one says about talking about sowing discord and about being slanderers. It's always talking about women. Because like I told the kids, because the guys just don't really care that much. Guys just aren't, we don't talk like women talk. We keep it to ourselves because it's probably because we're lazy, because we really don't want to take the effort to say it. Because we may think things, but just too hard. But ladies, are you doing this and then your kids are watching you and you're talking about people? And men too. I'm not gonna say men don't do that, because I'm sure they do. But do we do that? Do we talk about people in front of our kids? Do we talk about people and our kids hear us? And our kids are, because kids do that. Kids want to hear. Really? What are they saying in there? And my son Austin, he has ears like the bionic man. Ding, 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 ding. Until he doesn't want to hear you, then what? But kids hear, and kids want to know. Because sometimes you got to say, I don't want you to hear what we're talking about. If I wanted you to hear, I would have said, hey, come here. You know, because they're like, what? What'd you say? But kids hear what you say, so you got to be careful what you're talking about. You got to be careful what you're saying and who you're saying it about. If you're, do you agree with, the hardest thing for as a youth leader for me is when I have parents, when I tell the kids something, and the parents say, well, the kids say, well, my parents, they said I could do that. Well, whoop-de-doo for you. This is what I tell the kids. Even if your parents say it's okay, it's not okay. I don't care what your parents say. I don't care who your parents are. Because if it goes against God's word, it's not okay. No matter what they tell you, well, my mom and dad said I could do that. Well, it's still not okay because it still goes against God's word. And when they tell you, well, Mr. Shell said this, and you say, well, he's wrong. He shouldn't be saying that because you're allowed to do those things. You're taking away my authority to your kids of trying to help them and teach them what God's word says. And you're taking away, and this is the biggest thing, do you discount what God's word says? Do you say, well, it says that, but I don't agree with it? Because you're taking away God's authority in your kids' life. You're taking away God's authority in people's life. And it's not just kids. I'm just using the kids as an example because we don't think anybody else looks at us but kids. Everybody in here looks at everybody else and how they act. We all look at other people to see how they're acting as Christians. We all look at each other and say, well, if they're doing that, then it might be okay. If they're dressing that way, and dress is a big thing, well, if they dress that way, then it's okay for me to dress that way. I don't have to worry about what the Bible says about how to dress because look at them. And that happened in our teen class. We had teenagers tell us, well, you say you shouldn't dress this way, but I see people in church dressing that way all the time. What am I supposed to say? Well, they're wrong too, which is what I say. But it really doesn't hold a lot of weight when they see older Christians acting that way, when they see the aged women dressing in a way that they shouldn't dress. And when they see all these things that we do as older Christians, or of the age of Christians, aged Christians, I don't want to say older, but they see that the way that we act and the things that we do and the things that we say, and then something gets preached about, they automatically go back to the person, well, they do those things. So it's really not that big of a deal. They look at us, kids do, and I'm talking a lot about kids because that's what I deal with all the time because I'm the youth pastor. Kids look at us and they say, we're all hypocrites. You guys are all hypocrites, all you older people, you're all hypocrites because you say these things, but you do the opposite. You say this is how we're supposed to act, but yet you don't act that way. Do we show our kids love and compassion for other people, or do we show them, well, you know what, I don't like that person, and I don't want to shake their hand, and I hope they leave the church. I don't want them to come back. And we say those things to our kids, and yet we try to teach our kids, well, you know, you need to be compassionate towards somebody else and try to befriend them. But yet, we don't want to befriend anybody. Well, I don't want to sit by them. I'm going to move over here. The example that you give them, your actions, are going to be what they know. They're going to hear your words, but your words are going to go, because they do anyways, more times than not. The words that you say don't really mean anything if you don't put any action behind them. If you show them by your example, if you can tell them, but then if you can be an example and show them how to act and show them how you're supposed to be, that's going to hold a lot more weight than just you telling them and just you saying, well, this is what it says. But they want to see you do that. They want to see it in action. They want to see how they're supposed to act as Christians, so they're going to look at us. How are we acting? How are you an example? Not just to people in here, not just to young people, not just to your family, but to other Christians, to people that you work with. Because people know, hopefully they know you're a Christian. If they don't know you're a Christian, obviously you're not acting right anyways. Hopefully they know you're a Christian. And then if you tell them you're a Christian, are you acting the right way? Because us not acting right will keep somebody from getting saved. That'll keep somebody from knowing the Lord as their Savior because they're going to say, well, if they're a Christian and they act like that, what do I need to be a Christian for? And you can say, well, you need to be a Christian so you can go to heaven, not to hell. Yeah, but that really doesn't hold, you telling them that doesn't hold a lot of weight when you're living like the devil. When you're cussing and when you're doing all those things that you shouldn't be doing, yet you're telling them that you need to be saved and come to church, why would they come to church? Why would I go to, people that go, and if you're a lost person, when I didn't go to church, I knew what people in church were supposed to act like. I knew what they were not supposed to do. I didn't know everything they were supposed to do, but I did know they weren't supposed to do a lot of things. They weren't supposed to be drinking. They weren't supposed to be cussing. They weren't supposed to be looking at pornography. They weren't supposed to be doing all the things that the world does because they're supposed to be different. That holds true in your house, too. It's not just you act a certain way, but then when you get in your house, you can be whoever you want to be. It's my own home. I feel comfortable in my house, so I can act like what I want to act like. No matter where you're at, you should act like a Christian, especially in your home. You should act like a Christian no matter wherever you are. That's you should be the same person. You shouldn't be somebody different no matter depending on where you're at. You shouldn't be somebody different at work than you are here. You shouldn't be somebody different at work and here and then at home. You're not a spy. You're not living a double life. You're a Christian. First and foremost, you are a Christian person. And you should live that way so when people look at you, they can't say, well, you know what? They don't live that way because according to this verse, Titus 2 verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Showing a pattern of good works. A pattern is something that somebody sees in you all the time. Not just, well, you know what? They act like that in church, but when you don't see them around church people, they act totally different. I know people like that. I'm sure all of you probably know people like that. But are you the person that's like that? Are you being the example that you should be to other people, to these young kids? We want these kids to grow up and serve God. But are we being an example to them that they want to grow up and serve God? Are we being that example, or are these kids here going to be gone? We're going to be here because we're going to continue serving, but all the kids are gone. Because where are all the kids? Where are all of the teenagers that came through this church? Where are they at now? Why aren't they here as young adults? What happened to them? Now you can say, well, they chose not to serve God. They did, and that is their choice. But what kind of example did they have? What kind of example were you? What kind of example was I? And I thought about this the other day. As a Christian parent and somebody that has kids growing up in a Christian home, I am molding and raising my kids to be in God's service, not to be in the world. People that raise their kids in the world are raising their kids to be in the world and be doctors and lawyers or whatever the world has to offer. But as a Christian, we are raising our kids to be in God's service. Whether they choose that or not, we are still, that is what we're doing. We're raising a group of kids to be in God's army. And that's how we need to look at it. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. The army trains people in how they want them to fight. We are training kids. We are raising kids in our families, raising kids in our church to grow up and serve God. But if you look around, where are they at? Where are all the kids? Now, there's some here tonight. Most of them are here because their parents brought them here. I have three of them. But where are the kids that their parents don't have to bring them anymore? Their parents don't bring them. Are they driving in? Are they coming here still? Where are they at? What happens to them? What happens to the kids? What happens to them that they want to leave and they don't want to come back is my question. What happens to the stuff that they've seen in us, all the goodness that they've seen? Did they see that, or did they see all the bad stuff? Or did they see hypocrisy? Did they see us not acting right? Did they see us being critical of the preacher and critical of other people? Or did they see us praising God? Did they see you praising God in your home? Do your kids see that? Do people see you praising God at your workplace? Or do you say, oh, church tomorrow, got to get up early. Not, can't wait to be at church. Because when you say, man, I got to get up early and go to church. Hey, you want to come? You want to get up early with me and come? No, they're not going to come. But if you say, man, I can't wait to go to church tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. Be excited about it. They may come. But when you say, yeah, I had church all day. It was long service too. Didn't get to eat till 2 o'clock. Is that going to encourage anybody to come to church? No. So you need to be careful in how you act. And we laugh and snicker about that, but even just something small like that can turn somebody away from serving God, can turn somebody away from coming to church, can turn kids away of wanting to be in church. Because church is a drag. People said, mm-hmm, or uh-uh. Church is a drag. I hate church. Church is boring. It shouldn't be that way. Churches be, I love coming to church. If I could have a revival every day, I would come. And it would get tiring, I know that. But I love hearing preaching. I love being in church because it's a peaceful place for me to be. It's not a chore to come here. It's not something, man, we got to get ready and go to church. And I'm not going to say, sometimes it never gets to be where I don't really want to go, because there's days that I don't want to come for a split second. But then I realize, you know what? Church is where I want to be because you're my family. You are my family. And like I told the kids today, you can't pick who your family is. You're born into that family. We can't, and you say, well, you can't pick everybody that's in this church either, because I wouldn't pick them. Maybe true. But you are our second family. I spend more time with you than I do my blood family. I spend more time with you people here, and I consider you my family, and I'm closer to some of you than I am with other people. That's just the way it goes. We can't be close to everybody in the church. There's just too many people. But I enjoy, and you probably all know, we're the last ones usually to leave the church. That's just the truth, because we enjoy fellowshipping with each other. We enjoy coming here. And my son Austin, he's usually standing there like, time to go. Ready to go yet? Time to go. Because he wants to go home. But we enjoy, because a lot of times we don't get together with people outside of this, but we enjoy being here. And it's a place of enjoyment and happiness. It's not a place where as soon as it's over, okay, got to go. Out the door. You get here 1 minute before 7 o'clock, you sit down, or 6 o'clock, you sit down in your pew, have service over, okay, I got to go, and then you're out. That is showing your kids and showing other people that you really don't care about church. That's an example that we shouldn't be. You're showing people, you're showing your kids and people that church really isn't that. Yeah, you went because you had to go, but you really didn't really want to go. You really didn't enjoy it. You would have stayed a little bit. You would have got there a little bit early. Church is an obligation to most of us. It's not something that we want to do. Kids see that. Other people see that. Other people see that it's just your obligation. You're going just because you have to go. Of course, I don't know who is making you come. You say, well, if I don't come, God's going to be mad at me. Well, you know what? God's really not going to bless you if you just come because you're saying I have to come and you're not getting anything out of it anyways. When you come to church, you should look for a blessing. And Brother Bob says, I'm not going to ever raise my hand that I'm looking for a blessing. He wants to be a blessing, but I disagree with Brother Bob. Because I believe no matter when you come, even if you want to be a blessing, you should always look for a blessing. You should always look for something out of God's word to get. And I know, I understand what you're saying. And we should always want to be a blessing to people, but we should always look for something in God's word to give to us to encourage us to continue on for the rest of the week or continue on until Wednesday to encourage our life. Because we all need it. Because nobody here is strong enough and perfect enough to say, you know what, I really don't need God's word because I'm good enough. I'm going to go and be a good and make everybody else's day. I don't need encouragement. We all need it. So you should all come here for something. You should all come here to get something out of the service, no matter who's preaching. No matter, which is the amazing thing about God's word, is you can get something out of this all the time. Because that's the way God works. But that, back to my original question, what kind of example are you? What kind of example am I? Are we the kind of example that is going to want people to continue to come back to Bethel? Is it going to be an example that your kids are going to continue to serve God once they get out of the house and on their own? Or are we the example where your kids are never going to come back to church again? Or they're going to go find another church? Because you badmouth this church all the time that they don't want to be here. Because every time something happened, you were always grumbling and complaining about it. You were sowing discord among the brethren, even if it's your own brethren, your own family. But you're sowing discord because you don't agree with everything that happened. You don't agree. You know what? I wish preacher wouldn't say all those announcements before he started preaching because it just takes forever. It's just so aggravating. I've heard people say that. But you know what? That's part of the church service. That's part of, if you just want to come here preaching, then you're not really getting the whole experience of church. Church is more than just coming and hearing God's word preached. It's coming and hearing what's going on. And I'll admit sometimes preacher goes on and on with his announcements. But that's who he is. And you got to love him for that. Because he doesn't try to be anything different than who he is. And that's something I love about him, because he is who he is no matter what. If he takes 30 minutes in announcements, who cares? What else are you going to do? Obviously, you're not here because you really want to be here. Just my opinion. Come looking for a blessing. Be an example to other people in the church, not just to your kids, because some of you don't have any kids or some of your kids are grown. But be an example to other people. Encourage them. Be an example to the visitors that we have that this is a great church. This is a place that they want to be, a place that they want to come back to. Not as soon as it's over, everybody's out the door and grumbling and complaining because it took forever. Why would visitors want to come back? Obviously, you don't want to be here, and you scurried out the door real quick. Be an example to these kids, to my kids. Be an example to each other. Encourage your own family. Encourage your spouses. Because sometimes we don't encourage our spouses either. We're a bad example to them, too, because we complain about stuff. And then our spouse hears that, and they get discouraged. If you read those verses, and I'm not going to read them again, but if you read those and really read what it says, it tells you how you're supposed to be as a Christian. It tells you how you're supposed to act. And it's not God asking you, it's God telling you. It says that the aged men and the aged women likewise act this way. So it's a commandment. Are you being a good example, or are you being a bad example? Because you're going to be an example no matter what. Are you encouraging people to come, or are you going to discourage people to come and continue to come or come back? That's my question for you. All right, let's pray.